not trying to be nosy, but how many of you got a Pinterest account? Pinterest, yeah. A lot of you. Okay. Well, my wife has had a Pinterest account for quite a while, and she kept telling me, you can find anything on Pinterest. She says, I have never searched anything that I couldn't find on Pinterest. And she says, tell me something. She'd type it in and show up. Well, anyway, just got in, how to make holy water. You take regular water, you boil it, and you boil the devil out of it. So anyway, and actually as I was sitting there, I looked that up, and it says the same thing right there on Pinterest. Oh, you know why Noah had to punish the chickens on the ark? They were using foul language. Oh. Okay. Hey, as we're surging forward this year and doing some different things, we have some cards out on the information booth out there that will help you. And help you search for it. Also on the back, it's got a place there for five names you can write down and what to pray over them every day. Amen. And we'll see them come to the Lord. Amen. Also, there's always stuff coming up about different religions, what they believe, how they believe it. And we have a little pamphlet out here. Now, this isn't free. It's $5 because we had to pay for them. But it talks about Christianity, cults, and religions. And so you can look up what Christianity says about this here, or about Mormonism, about United School of Christian, New Age, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. You can find out differences, and it'll help you when you run across that person, and you'll be able to know the difference. Amen, and help you in your walk there. Amen. Well, Leslie brought her fiancé home to meet her parents. Her father invited the young man into his study to find out more about him, which is what we do, scares him. And he says, what are your plans? And he asked Joseph. He says, I'm a scholar of the Bible. Joseph replied, well, that's, and the father replied, that's admirable, Leslie's father replied. And he says, but what will you provide, how will you provide a nice home for my daughter? And he says, I will study the word of God, and God will provide for us, Joseph explained. He said, okay. And how will you buy her a nice engagement ring? I will study hard, and the God will provide for us. And children, asked the father, how will you support the children? Don't worry, sir, God will provide, replied the fiancé. The conversation continued in such a fashion after Joseph and Leslie had left. Her mother asked the father, I've got several pages here, and found out, father answered, well, he has no job, no plans, but the good news is he thinks I'm God. All right, well, anyway, I try. All right, well, as I was getting ready, and really as I woke up this morning, I just felt like sometimes we get into this place where me as an individual, what can I do? I'm just one person. How can I make a difference in the world, kingdom of God, Christianity? I'm just one person. And sometimes we start thinking like that, and I want you to know, and we're going to read across a few scriptures here this morning where one person made a big difference. And you know what? And what they were doing, they were minding their own business, doing their own thing. I mean, what they're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, they get written in the Bible. Because God used one person to change lives. Isn't that miraculous? And I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to use you to change lives. So let's open up the Bible to Joshua chapter 23 first. And let's read verses 10 and 11. And verse 10 starts out of the New King James I'll be reading. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord God, he is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. And so, one person can chase thousands away. So the Lord wants to use us miraculously. He wants to use us in ways that we don't even know about. But all we have to do is become available, ready to be used. Isn't that good news? Amen. And I want to, let's turn over to John chapter 6, and let's read about this incident that this, the Bible here calls him a lad. So he wasn't too old. He wasn't, I wouldn't say really quite the older teenager yet, but a lad. And so anyhow, he's there, and Jesus is going to have this crusade a little ways away, and his mom gives him 5 loaves of bread. Now, when we say 5 loaves of bread, these are like small loaves. They're not like we go to the store and we buy these loaves like this here, you know, and 2 fishes. And we think about fish. We're not thinking about a big trout or, you know, some big catfish. You know, he's not carrying a 40-pounder over his, on the way there or anything. He's carrying like 2 little sardines and 5 little loaves of bread. So let's pick up here in verse 9. There is a lad here, and let me go back a little. Jesus is doing this crusade, if we'd call it that today, and all of a sudden he realized we got to feed these people, you know. And you know, there's not McDonald's down the street, not Burger King or anything, Pizza Hut, nothing like that is real convenient, obviously. And so anyhow, they said, well, we don't know how we're going to feed, and so they ran across this lad that this mom had prepared. His lunch for him. What a smart mom. And I can probably see her saying, now, son, this is for you. It's not for everybody there. But mom, no, now this is yours. But I can see that, you know, obviously, if she said that, which I'm just presuming, I don't know, I have no idea. And she may not even said that at all. She may say, give it all away, I don't know. But anyway, he's there. He brought his lunch. And they find him, and they tell Jesus, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But there are so many among us. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. Now back then, they counted mainly just the men. And boys. Doesn't count any women and any really the children, I guess. And so there's probably could be at least 15,000 there, if not more. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. And that kind of impressed me when I was reading that this morning. Yes, I've read it hundreds of times, but they ate as much as they wanted. You got over 15,000 people. 2 more fish back here. Come on, fish, fish, fish. Bring it on, disciples. Come on. You're slowing up. We need more fish. You know, like we go to some of the restaurants and they have all-you-can-eat fish fries. You know, they're prepared for the crowd. Jesus wasn't prepared, but you know what? It was like, take as much as you want. I blessed. And sometimes we limit ourselves to what God can do for us by saying he can only do so much. And he said, they ate as much as they want. In other words, they passed out loaves, and they passed out fish, and they had eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten. Let me tell you what, when you're in a crusade, I've been to a lot of them, you start to get hungry after a while. You start thinking, when's lunch? And a lot of you times, sometimes you think, is pastor going to go past 12 o'clock? Normie lets us out a little early so we can beat the rush crowd. You know, but, you know, it won't happen today. But thank you for that one amen and the rest. But anyhow, they ate and they were full. And they... Jesus, I'm telling you, he's amazing. Verse 12, and so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. I thought that's interesting. I know I've read that many, many times, and I remembered that part. And, you know, he's saying, you know what, we're not going to waste what God has provided. God provides a lot of things for us sometimes, and we waste it. Sometimes God gives us financial seed, and we don't put it where we know we're supposed to. We waste it. But anyhow, he said, you go gather up everything. Let's see what kind of fragments we got. And verse 13, and they gathered up and they filled the 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. I'm telling you what, they got so full, they're like, I can't eat no more. I wanted one more fish, but I just can't do it. I asked for 2, but I can't eat it. I'm going to have to give this one back. Here you go. Here's your fishy. You know, I took a bite out of this last barley loaf, and I thought I'd get it down. I just can't do it. Here. I'm sorry it's got a bite out of it, but you get the rest back. Okay. And God was, you know, and I have no proof, and it really doesn't matter, but where did all the 12 baskets go? Some say, well, I think maybe they finally let the disciples eat. And some say, well, I think they give it to the lad to show the mom, hey, look what God provided for you giving your son something. God uses what you have to fulfill a need which you never thought you could fulfill. When that boy went to that house, or to that meeting that day, lad, they call him, when he went there, he had no idea that he was going to be used in such a miraculous way. And I think sometimes if we just go around thinking, you know, I just want to be used by the Lord today, all of a sudden, he'll use us. In an unexpected way, in a way that we didn't count on, we didn't think that would really happen, but yet it happened. And when we get out of our selfish self and start realizing that God wants to really use me sometime, maybe it's with an encouraging word, maybe it is to share my lunch, maybe it's to do something else, maybe it's to help somebody out get some groceries, maybe it's just to clean up the house for my wife this time. Yeah. Yeah. She'll be asking, is that on your prayer needs now, Dad? Or, hun? Amen. God uses you. He'll take you places you never thought you would go. Because you allowed yourself to be available for God's word. And so God wants to use all of us. And I kept thinking about this one thing. And even if we think we got to get all this done in the kingdom of God and it's impossible, if we're all just doing what God has us do individually, it all adds up to humongous things that God can do in people's lives. Amen. And we make a difference by doing the one. Glory to God. I was talking to Ron and Sharon Robinson yesterday. And they were talking, they go out and they go to the homeless shelter and they feed people at the homeless shelter. And I know Jim over here, he used to go to the park and do that. And people got some different things going on that it's not for everybody to know. They're just doing it for the Lord. Amen. Amen. They're not doing it just to get glory. Yeah. Amen. They just want to go and help somewhere. And if we get that attitude, I just want to be a blessing so I can bless. Amen. Isaiah 6:8 says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Amen. Here I am, send me. Ask the Lord, what can I do? He's not going to say, you got a lot of work for you can do anything, son. No, he's not going to do that. He will put you in a place where you're at to be able to do something. And you're going to be able to see how miraculous God is by doing something little to start with. And you know what it does? It touches you on the inside. I know it helps them, but I think it changes us more. It makes us trust in God. Now, here's another one. This girl got captured in Syria. And the man brought this Israelite girl back from Syria, put her in his house, helping his wife to serve her. And let's go there to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. And you're going to see this, how one person wasn't selfish or mad where she was at, but she wanted to help. And it says, now Nahum, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given him victory over Syria. He also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. The Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Nahum's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. So this girl that was actually taken, actually away from where she was living, put somewhere where she probably really didn't want to be, but she was doing what they told her to do. She had compassion on her master and said, you know what? If you could go see the prophet, Elijah, who they're talking about, if you could go see him, I know your husband could get healed. Because with leprosy, even though he was inviting him in, he really couldn't be around too close to anybody. And so this one girl, and we don't even have the names of these last two, but you know what? Their acts by themselves changed lives. And I want to get across to you this morning, what we do individually matters. How we treat people matters. What we say to people matters. What we do for people matters. And we have to realize, hey, this girl here, she made it in the Bible. She didn't get her name quite there, but she made it. Amen. And you know what? He did, and it's quite a good story. You got to read the whole thing, and we don't have time this morning. But he got healed because she spoke to his wife about his situation. Amen. How many times do you think God wants to use us speaking to somebody else that they might be able to help somebody else? God wants to use us all the time, but I think we get in this thing that, oh, it's too much, it's too big, what can I do? We all are individuals in the body of Christ, and we all need to know that God wants to use us, that my steps every day are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And so it takes gumption to say some things sometimes. I was reading up on this story and kind of like with the, I can't think of the name of the movie now. But anyway, this college student, he had to take these courses to get his major that he was going to college for. And this course, one of the courses that he had to take was this professor for 3 months, and it says it was from USC, for 3 months, talked about how God is not true, that he is not alive, and for 3 months, and he would be such a critic that it was hard for anyone to even to say anything against him. And so this young man kept praying, Lord, I thank you that you're going to help me if I ever have to stand up, if I ever have to be bold, if I ever have to say that I'm a Christian, I'm going to say it, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to do it. And so towards the, right at the end of the 3 months class, you know, everything was going all right. But then all of a sudden, the professor said, who in here is a Christian? I want you to stand up. He's mean. He's vile. You know, that's like, I'm going to chop you down and spit you out. And so in that classroom, instead of 300 people, he stood up. And he's in the back. And that professor says, so you think your God is real? Yeah. If your God is real, he'll cause this chalk when it hits the floor not to break. And that chalk slipped out of his fingers, hit his jacket, rolled down his pants, hit the cuff of his pants, hit on his shoes, and rolled off in the floor, unbroken. Amen. I mean, that was just to prove how good God is. And how standing up for God sometimes isn't the easiest thing, but it's the best thing. It'll build you up. You get a lot of people criticizing you, and you start thinking, man, I don't know if I want to do this. But I'm telling you what, if God's got you in a position where you're able to voice something good for him, you might want to take advantage of it. Because that time will help you for the next time. And that time will help you for the next time. And pretty soon, you're bold as a lion. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. In Luke 12:8, says, I will say unto you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also I will confess him before the angels of God. Amen. Let me give you another one that one person saved the nation. Now we do have the name on this one. It was Queen Esther. They were coming against, Haman was coming against the whole Israel population. And he was going to have them killed and be extinct. But God has a plan. Just when you think that it's over with, I ain't going to make it, I'm not going to do anything, but God's got a plan that he's going to rise you back up and you're going to stand strong, and that you were created for such a time as today. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm living in the 21st, 22nd century, whatever century we're in. 21st, thank you. I'm so good looking and young looking that, you know, I'm just putting myself in the next century. Since Jorge said I talk good about myself, maybe I should. But she was an Israelite herself. And it says in Esther 4:14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, now these are words of wisdom that Haman's given her. If you remain completely silent, this relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. He's telling her, We're not going to be wiped out. We're going to overcome on this. And either you can help, or God will raise up somebody else who will do it. You know what? I want God to use me. I want to be used by the Lord. Amen. I don't want somebody else to do my job. And me being seen, I should have did that. Amen. And where relief arise from Jews in another place. Okay. But you and your father's house will perish. In other words, he's saying that you won't make it, and your father's house won't make it. Yet, who knows whether you have been come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, he's telling her, it's time for you to rise up and become the person that you were seated to be in that position. We think, well, I don't have a position. I'm not a queen. I'm not a king. Well, the Bible says that we are. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, we are kings and priests. Amen. We rule with authority and we have the anointing of God that's living on the inside of us. And so we were created for such a time as this, so that when we get in these situations, we shouldn't feel lost. We should feel anointed. We should feel complete. We should feel ready to serve Him, ready to say something that's going to change something. Have an idea that only God could give you. Amen. Courage, this was written by Gilbert K. Chesterton. Courage is almost a condition of terms. It means a strong desire to live, talking to form of readiness to die. In other words, I'm confident I have courage to speak up for the Lord's behalf. I can say what the Lord would have me say. Amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Sometimes we don't think we can do much, but God says He can do great things through you because He's going to strengthen you to do the work that He has for you that day. Amen. Well, I'm just by myself. Yeah. He wants to work on you individually. It's a great thing here at the church. We have all kinds of teams going, doing things all the time. But there's times when we're by ourselves, and you know what? I have the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, and me and Him are going to get the job done. Me and Him is going to proclaim the gospel. Me and Him is going to be a shining light unto our neighbors. Me and Him is going to go to the work, and in that dark place, I'm going to be the light in that dark place there. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Amen. And I love that verse in Hebrews when it talks about He'll not leave you or forsake you. Out of the Amplified, He says, "I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not." Amen. He's saying it. I'm telling you. You know, we used to have with our kids, "I'm telling you, you better do it right." Amen. Let's go with one more here, and then we'll finish up here, I think. Now, this one has a name. His name was Noah. And God found no one righteous but one. He found favor. Noah found favor or mercy in the sight of God. And God spoke to Noah, an individual. He says, "Prepare a boat for your family." Now, we got blessed to be able to go up to Kentucky I think a couple summers ago, and we went and saw the ark. That's where it landed, you know. We went up there, and they made it the model scale and size. It's huge. Man, and then you start going up there, and you start seeing, and it's like, wow, that's big. That had to be the biggest boat of its time. And here, we have a guy that's building this, allow me to say it, in his backyard. Let me tell you what, something that heavy, something that big, something that large is not going to get moved very easy. You aren't going to get a bunch of donkeys and say, "Yee-hoo, giddy up." And I can picture people coming against Noah and saying, "What are you doing? You're wasting your time. Why do you talk like this?" You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He'd say, "There's coming a day. There's coming a day. I don't know when that day is, but I know when that boat's complete, God's going to do something somewhere close to that time. Because I didn't spend 120 years finding all this gopher wood, milling it down, getting it straight, bending it. And I didn't spend all these years putting that pitch on the inside so it wouldn't leak. God is going to do something here. And if you don't want to get right before God, you'll get left behind. He was giving people invitation after invitation after invitation. Hey, there's coming something we've never seen before, water from the sky. And you know how that crazy that would sound from today's perspective if someone came and said, something's going to happen that you've never seen like this before. We'd kind of be, you know, we think better of ourselves than that, but, you know, we kind of be thinking, well, let the crazy be crazy. But you know what? I bet when the animals started coming, waiting on the turtles, and when they finally got there, or maybe God gave them a head start. You got to start 2 weeks early, guys. This is kind of ridiculous, but you're going to have to go ahead. And maybe when they started seeing the animals go in the ark, that they might have thought something. But it wasn't convincing them. He talked to his family and said, you need to get on this boat. And his family was the only ones that made it. But I'm telling you, God spoke to an individual. That individual listened. That individual did. And it took a process and it took time to complete. And he looked silly. He looked foolish. But he didn't give up on the word that God gave to him. Let me tell you what. God may have spoke to something about your ministry, what you're supposed to be doing. And you're thinking, I don't know if it's ever going to just keep surging forward on it, what you can do. And God will give you new steps and new ways. But never think that you're out of the game. That I'm just one person that works here. You're the person God wants there. Well, what can I do? You have a voice. And I'm not saying preach on their time, but you might witness on your break time. You might be able to say something in between passing. Just something the Lord gives you. Glory to God. We're there to work. We're there to do our job. But I'm also there to be a light, to be a witness. And I want to tell you today, God wants to use you to surge you forward and do the miraculous. He might have called somebody else to do it, and they turned him down. Just as he told Esther, Israel will be saved. But are you for such a time as this? We were born for such a time as this. And when we realize, hey, I don't like everything that's going on, all this, but that's been the world from the time it started. You ought to be glad that you're here in such a time as this. Wow. You have a voice. That you have a God on the inside of you that speaks to you. That encourages you. That you don't even know you're being used. That boy that brought the fish and the loaves, he had no idea he's going to be used. But God used two fish, five little barley loaves to feed 15,000, 20,000. Wow. Amazing. So every day as we go doing our individual thing, we're not trying to get in a book. We're just trying to be obedient to do what God has us to do. We're trying to be friendly. We're trying to smile in faces of circumstances. And that's our job, just to obey Him. and to do what he's calling us to do as individuals. And you know what? A lot of us will probably do a whole lot of things that no one ever will see, hear about. But if you're doing what God tells you to do, you're doing it right. Amen. You're an individual. He uses one at times. He uses teams at times. But we all got to be ready to be used. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'd like to know the Lord. I'd like to maybe be used by him. But you never surrendered your life to him. It's time to make him Lord and Savior of your life today. So if that's you this morning, quit the excuses and just surrender to him, because he wants to use you. He wants to change your life. He wants to clean you up. And if you never accepted him as Lord and Savior, I'd like you to raise your hand, because I want to pray with you real shortly here. Is that you this morning that the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to get yourself right with the Lord? You need to make yourself right before him. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? Ask him, Lord, am I right with you? You'll know. And ask you again, if that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you real shortly here. Okay. I'm going to have the ushers bring over communion. We're going to take communion this morning. Hallelujah. If everyone will hold the elements until we can all partake together.